precious Father in heaven, we gather here this morning, Father, to honor the day of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But Lord, we gather here with a heavy heart, because you have taken home a young precious brother in Christ. There is a lot of question, Father, as to why these things happen. All of a sudden, his life is gone from us here. But Lord, there has always been questions when it comes to our loved one. The sudden departure is so painful, Lord, for us, especially for the immediate family. And we, with a heavy heart, Lord, we are here this morning and just ask that, Lord, you comfort, Lord, the wife, the son, and his sisters, the mother and father, brother and sister as well, Lord, and those close relatives too. Lord, you look at our hearts today, and we pray, Father, Lord, that everyone that stands before you today here, that we truly know you, Father, as the only living God, the creator of heaven and earth, and that you have given us a Savior to save us from our wretched, sinful life, Lord. We may not look at our life as being wicked or evil, but Lord, we came into this world with a lot of evil thoughts in us, Lord. And we know that our thoughts sounds greater than the words that we uttered in your presence. For there's nothing good that comes out of this body, Father. And so, Lord, we ask that you take control today. We just have a little time over with your word and to proceed, Father, to lay our brothers, Lord, to rest. But we know that, Lord, that just the body and the spirit and soul has already been into your hand. May your spirit, O Lord, comfort us all. For we know, Lord, we'll miss him, though we'll never forget him. Bless us all now, Father, with thy word. Give us some understanding and comfort in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, woke up on Friday, on Saturday yesterday, and went in a shower, but there was a message sent, but I didn't notice it. And it was a bit later that there was a call, and it was a text message that I looked at. It was from Brother Joseph Ramasamy's son, Brother Luke, the young man that you know project songs every Sunday. He is here, and I was kind of reading the text because he was using his father's phone and introducing himself as the son, and that his father passed away. And I was kind of taken aback. I was kind of shocked as to is this. Am I reading it right? You know, I just kind of hard to comprehend. Am I reading the text right? And I show it to Zora and ask him, is this what the text say? You know, the brother Joseph has been to come home? He said, yes. And I called him and called Brother Luke, and he tried to talk and tried to see in the past under his emotion, and talked to Sister Eunice. You know, you can see that the whole thing, because it is sudden, it is not because somebody gone through a suffering of some disease and over a period of time it weakened and passed away, but this is just all of a sudden, and it's very painful. And the whole day yesterday I could not even concentrate on preparing my sermon, and I was tossed here and there, and wanted to know whether I would like to continue with the trail of the sermon or just to touch on something to shut for today. You know, the Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous. And I said, Lord, that's fine, because the rain falls upon the just and the unjust. We get all kinds of affliction. We get flus, we get diseases, we get maybe a fall, the broken bones, and suffer some kind of a calamity, loss of job, maybe, or you know, loss an arm, or whatever that may be. But when it comes to a sudden death, and that's always the question, I can just see that, you know, when you're young, I mean, I'm already almost 70 years old. Okay, fine. You know, me and my wife, if I passed away, I don't think that's so much pain because I'm old, fine. But someone in the 40s, someone in the 30s, 40, I mean, it's still in the prime of life, you know, just after, I would say. And all of a sudden you find that your husband's gone and your wife's gone. My, that's really painful. And it's very hard for a many time for us to grasp this. And we ask the question, why, Lord, why? Why did this thing happen? Is there an answer to all this? Let's all look into the Bible, in the book of Exodus. If you look at several verses now and try to comprehend. Exodus 20:12. Here was the law or the commandment given to Moses for the children of Israel. Exodus 20:12 says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God hath given thee. The Bible said, we all know this verse, we all know this commandment, honor thy father and my mother, that your day may be long. And it's a verse telling me that because someone died young, he was not honoring the father and mother. And if I were to keep this commandment, honor my father and mother, that my day may be long. So if my day may be long, fine, if I live up to 100 years old, but between this show year and 100 years old, do I have to suffer a whole lot? Do I have to have some kind of disease that drag me on with pain at the age of 40 all the way to 100 years old? Is that the kind of life worth living, stretching all that 100 years or 60 years with pain? And now we look at the Bible like this. What does it all mean to us? First King. Question will never end. But we want to look at what the Bible can tell us. First King chapter 3 verse 14. Here is regarding Solomon, who prayed for wisdom. And the Lord said to him, and if thou wilt walk in my way, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. So, okay, we keep the commandment of the Lord, we keep the statute of the Lord. I mean, this is not talking about honor father and mother anymore. This is talking about if I were to walk in the statute of the Lord, the commandment of the world, walk in the word of the Lord, the Lord will lengthen my day. Life is what the Bible said, isn't it? Now let's go to Psalms 91. Psalms 91 and verse 16. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Oh, we live long life to satisfy God. Does all this make sense? Only your father and your mother keep the word of God, the long life, we satisfy God, we praise him and so on. Right, if I don't do this, what then? Is my life cut short? Proverbs 3. One and two. My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Now with all these verses of scripture, we read here, what is the implication? What does it do? What to our life, to our thinking? Now that we have someone just taken away at age 49, all of a sudden, and taken in such a way that, you know, an accident, not of a heart attack or something, painful. I have no word to say, but when I look into the scripture, I realize in the Old Testament, God admonishes people. You know how he blessed Solomon? How he blessed some of these characters? Abraham, Daniel, even though he was thrown to the lion's den, God kept him. Shut up the mouth of the lions. David, out there in the green pasture looking after his father's sheep. And a bear will come, take a lamb. Or a lion will come, take a lamb. And he went out there just to protect the lamb from being taken, and he would fight and kill the lion or the bear. Now these are the characters we see in the Bible because they have some appeal to us. Because these are men of God, these are special people whom God chose. But yet the law and the word of God were given up by the Lord through the prophet to the people of God as a promise. They are commandments, but they are promises. And if we can live the life, God will surely keep his own word to lengthen our day of life. And as long as we live a long life, surely I'll bless the Lord. I came to know the Lord before 12 years old, and I have been praising the Lord. I never deny him. You know. And if I should live another 30 years, I will still continue to praise him, no matter what comes. Because I always believed this. When I was in the Philippines just in April, for the Good Friday Convention. Because there's a lot of pain in among the people too. There's a lot of problem in their life. Many people are without work. Many people are sickly because they were eating the wrong kind of food, of course. And many of them were frustrated. But I said this, that life is to be lived Precious is the life that God gave. You may find yourself in a miserable state. In pain, because maybe you have a problem with your joint. Well, I am not having my problem with my neck. Or not having one side of my eye having cataract and you have a problem with the light. It's very irritating. You know. But then life is to be lived. Because God is life. And if we seek death. You know, Brother Abraham came to a stage where he was fasted because what people were doing. You know, lifting him up, calling him Jesus and making him the Messiah. And the trouble that he went through. So much so that he wanted to kill himself. God would not allow him to. Because death is not the way out. We find people commit suicide. In Japan, it seems to be quite common because of the pressure work. And back in the early 1930s, I guess, I can't remember the year now, when there was a Great Depression in America, a lot of investors lost their money, and many of them just jumped off a high building. Because why? They couldn't face bankruptcy and the debt that they might have accumulated. Death is not the way out. But life is the way to God. And we have to go through this. If we can look at the Bible, look at the Bible history about King Ahab. You know King Ahab? What kind of king was he? A wicked king. Because his wife, the queen was Jezebel. And then later on there are others like Manasseh. And if you want to read the history of the children of Israel, during those days when after they had the king, first king was King Saul, and then later on all those kings came along, and there was some kind of rebellion between the 12 tribes, and so much so that it split into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And then between that history, there were so many wicked ones. Wicked kings. And King Manasseh is one case. So much so that, you know what, because of his wickedness, the people of Israel were chastised. God allowed the king of Babylon to come down and fight them. Kill so many of them. All because of one wicked king. Why? They always know why. Sometimes I do not know whether you realize something or not. Maybe something happened to you, not your fault, but somebody else's fault. Or like in an accident, for example. Not just like I was watching just a couple of days ago on YouTube. An American highway, 6-lane. With a center divide. And the camera of this car caught the whole action. A motorcyclist came along, I guess, I don't know what happened before this start of the video. But the motorcyclist was riding a big motorcycle going next to the car in front of it, next to him, and the motorcyclist kicked the car. I guess something happened back then when camera caught this action. And the car driver, the motorist was very unhappy. So he drove his car, pushing, to push the motorcyclist. And I saw that, I thought the motorcyclist is going to fall. But no, he got his balance, you know, when being pushed there. But because it was on the highway, at least, I believe it goes, they might have been traveling about 70, not kilometer per hour, it's 100 or 70 miles per hour. And because the car was pushing it, and it went over from the center lane to the left lane, to the extreme, where there was a barrier. He went in the open city, so he turned it to the right. And when he turned it right, he oversteered. And what happened? He hit the barrier in the center of it, went across the road, over to the other side. And he hit the car. And that car flipped. But he had nothing happened to him. He just went over across the right all the way to the field. So whose fault is that? That person was an innocent person. And you know, he was just driving along, here comes somebody, knock him down. And I guess you have seen many accidents like that. So whose fault was it? And is it fair in life that somebody killed somebody? And whose fault? You just can't comprehend that. Why? We ask ourselves the question, why? Ecclesiastes. Now, I can't even find Ecclesiastes now. Ecclesiastes. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Now, you know, that's the wisdom of the preacher here in this book. Chapter 7, verse 13 onwards. Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he has made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the days of adversity, consider. God also have set the one over against the other, to the end that man might find nothing after him. All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perish in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolong his life in his wickedness. Be not righteous over much, neither make yourself overwise. Why should you destroy yourself? Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why should thou die before thy time? It is good that thou should take hold of this. Yea, also from this withdraw thy hand. For he that fear God hath come forth of them all. Wisdom strengthen the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Yeah. Look at the first verse 13. Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? Now here is the thought that I guess many of us go through when we get all this problems in life, and we think that we know better than God. Huh? If God makes something crooked, he has a way of dealing with things, and yet we find it, oh no, this should not be the way. This should be the way. Go this way, straight. You know, this should be the way that it should be. That's what we consider things. When we find things that we don't like, and we are smart, alecky ones, giving advice to people, giving advice to God, trying to be a good counselor, advisor. I think that we all know nothing. For we are nothing but clay. God is the potter. If thing goes the way he wanted it, because he has a reason. Why did God pick Abraham and from there brought forth the children of Israel to his son Isaac and then Jacob? And why in between that period of time? Why when he said to Abraham, I give you a son, when he was 75 years old, why couldn't God give him there and there, like 76 or 77? Why did God wait for him? Oh, until he was 24 years later, at the age of 100, that he gave birth, or that he had the son, Isaac. Why? Why did God have to stretch the period so long? I mean, I don't know that time and again perhaps Abraham had squabbled, argument with his wife often, perhaps because Sarah must have been very, very impatient. You said that your God told you and promised you that you will be a man of a great nation. And that you will have a son. That was last year. We have tried many times, husband. I'm still not pregnant. For a year again, perhaps, I don't know how often, not every month, perhaps. Hopefully, that they could conceive, that she could conceive. But no, she didn't. You know how much that is, that must be upon Abraham. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now we know that Brother Brown talked about California sinking. How many years ago was that? When he had the vision of 1933. And he talked about how that the system would end. Then he talked about California sinking. Until now, everybody is waiting to look at this event to come, because that event must happen before the rapture, before the Lord comes. Because this earth, heaven and earth, must be shaken. But now we are seeing weather changes. We see even the earth, according to scientists, has been actually a little bit tilting more now. Because iceberg has broken out. Continental shelf has even expanded. Look at the crazy weather that happened across China to South Korea over to Japan the last few days ago. And the Japanese government said, what the weatherman said, this was unprecedented. Everything that happened, the disaster that happened by weather, by earthquake, by flooding, whatever, drought, it will be unprecedented. Every time it happened, because it's going to get worse and worse, because the Bible said it will increase. It's when Jesus said, when you see this time come to pass, lift up your head, for your redemption is near. Right? But why did God allow Abraham to make him wait 24 years? Now how frustrating that can be. And in between that, because the wife night can say, okay, take a hug, guys, your wife, mistress, and give me a son. And I guess that after more than 10 years of hearing all that nagging, I think that Abraham says, okay, what happened? Ishmael is born. And we have this problem in the Middle East because of Ishmael. How crooked is the will of God, it seems, that this thing happened? Instead of saying, okay, I give you a son, straight forward, give you Isaac. No problem will happen, right? But you see, God have a plan already from the beginning of the foundation of the world. His thought is higher than our thought, as heaven is higher than the earth. So how can our mind complain? Well, why do you do this way? Why not this way? He's the potter, we are nothing but the clay. That's why people say, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in God. Because look at the disaster, the world, the war, the disease. People don't realize, many people. They don't realize because this happened. Not because God created it. God allows it. He didn't create it. You know, sometime when I was raising up my son and my daughter, when they were young little ones, you know, you can tell them, don't touch the fire. You burn. But then I've experienced, I remember my son. People were smoking over, he wanted to know why, what's so great about smoking. When he was a little guy, I can't remember how old you were. How old were you then, son? I didn't know until my wife told me what happened. He wanted to experiment, what is this smoking of cigarettes? So he took a newspaper and he rolled into a cigarette form, you know, just rolled it. And then like he went to the toilet, I think my wife said, like an end, smoke away. And he started, ha 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 ha. Then you realize what cigarette is all about. You know, sometimes if you allow the kids to experiment, then you know what it is, things happen. You see. Well, God has His way. Just the other day, 2 days ago, when I was eating an avocado. You know when I cut open an avocado, if you know what an avocado is, those of you who don't eat avocado, you don't know. When I look at avocado outside, when it's ripe, it's dark, black, brown, or whatever. Then just next to it is green. Then proceed, you know, toward the seed, it is yellow. And the seed is brown. And I look at it. Now, this avocado came from some smart, intelligent, different kinds of minerals in the earth. The potassium, the multivitamins, right there in the earth. They said, let us come together and let us make ourselves an avocado seed. Then we will grow up and spring into a plant and then into a tree, and then we will produce avocado. Smart mineral. Smart, you know, potassium, calcium, magnesium, whatever they're supposed to form. Have you ever looked closer at the a strawberry? Look at the strawberry. The seed is not on the inside, the seed is on the outside. What? Well, you know, so different. This guy, this little fellow, all this little mineral, all very wise. They can come together and let us make ourselves some strawberry plants, and then we grow strawberries. But instead of the seed being itself, we put little seeds on the outside that look like sesame seed. Well, that's not God. This thing comes by itself. You know, can you fathom that? You see, when you look at all these things, I realize that there is a designer and a controller of everything. Things that are allowed by Him for a purpose. Ours is not more, just like the legendary, you know, they were fighting out there in Africa, if I remember right, the French legendary. Ours is not the question why. And ours just to obey and die. Something of that sort in life. You know, they were told to fight the fight. There's no question. They were soldiers. Look at the next few verses. In the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the days of adversity, consider. Surely, I say, in the day of prosperity, everything is fine. Prosper in health, prosper in wealth, prosper in everything. Rejoice, rejoice. But in the day of adversity, consider. God also has set the one over against the other, to the end the man shall find nothing after him. So don't just have good things, but when bad things come, consider. Right? There is the black and there is the white, there is darkness and there is light. If there is no one without the other, you will not know what it is. What is life all about? If life is without pain, if life is all wealth and joy, nothing, you have no understanding. But don't go to the extreme like, oh, what is the prince that became Buddha? What's his name? Huh? Gautama. He was a prince, wasn't he? He got everything in the palace. Everything was served to him. Until one day he stood on, he saw a sick man, he saw an old man, he saw a diamond, whatever it is. He said, what is this all about? So he stood by himself, went on there, sat under a Buddha tree, and began to try to find the answer. What did he find? Nothing. But something of his own, the vain imagination. You know, when you try to meditate with nothing, you get all kind of hallucinations. You will see things. You know. So keep your balance. The more they try to find an answer, why, Lord, this thing happened to me? The more they try to fight it, you'll find nothing. Because we already are frustrated. We just want to have an answer to our own design, our own thoughts, our own whatever we already consider is right. This should be the way. Yeah, I was like that several times when I fasted. This should be the way. And I even connived, designed something that tried to help God plan it to work the way that I want it to happen. You know what I'm talking about? Do you understand? Yes. And I find whole foolishness. No wonder it's vanity. All is vanity. Because God has already allowed it. And you can't change it. All you have to do is walk the way of God and see what God can do for you. See? Even with what Abraham did and brought forth Ishmael, and the wife said to him, throw him out. He threw him out. Threw the family out. Threw Hagar out. Threw Ishmael out. You know. See, there's always the conflict in life. Painfully doing, maybe. All these things I've seen in the days of my vanity. You see, in the days of my vanity, this is a preacher. This is supposed to be written by Solomon. All the days of my vanity. I don't know how old you are now. 50 years old, 60 years old, 40 years old. All that your life that you have lived all these years are life of vanities. Ruth Rowling. If it's not in the Lord that we walk in, you will see how life will be. All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perish in his righteousness. And there is a wicked man that prolong his life in his wickedness. Well, it seems that the people who are wicked live longer life, it seems. Ah. And the righteous perished. Huh? In his righteousness. Of course. Obviously. You look at history, how the Christian. We read the book of Fox Martyrs. The Book of Martyrs by Fox. It's a difficult book to read if you read the original. Because very archaic word. If you read the new one, they simplify, you'll understand. How many Christians lay themselves down to die? Without not denying Christ. When all that evil and the wickedness of Romanism. Go back to history. 68 million people died. It was reported 68 million people died. But not 68 million are all Christians. Even in people who are not Christian, died under the hand of the Roman Catholic Church. See? Now, what do you imagine? You know, in the days of the Roman Empire, many Christians were sacrificed in the arena just to the enjoyment of the spectator. Family with children, and they let the lion out, they let the bear out. I want you to imagine here for a moment. You are a father or a mother standing with your young children. Your mother, your father standing there. And the bears are coming. They're loose. They open the gate. The lions are coming. What would you do? You probably run, won't you? But I'll tell you one thing here, but it's essential about death. When you're facing terrible death that is coming straight at you, the moment of fear that comes, the terror that comes is so overwhelming that you're paralyzed. They practically couldn't move. And many even would say that when you go into the state, and as a Christian, you're going to see a light. When the first thing, when the light pounds on you, that's gone. It's very fast. Like for example, if you fall down from a tall building, 30, 40 story high, the moment you fell down, the moment that you're off the edge of the building and you start to drop, do you know what happened? That sinking feeling, the moment you completely go into a sort of blackout, you already did. You hit the ground, you do not know anything. And you can read a long report. Some people who were, attacked by shark. Many of them don't even realize that when they're bitten by shark at that moment, when the shark sink its teeth in the arm or the leg, they felt the pain, but then that moment is gone. Then they find out how something happened. Then they realize that a shark has bitten, what you call, grab their hands or their arms or the leg, and they were trying to fight it off. And it just all very instinct, it's an instinct reaction. You just hit the shark. But they said you don't feel any pain. It's only after you're out of the water, then the pain will slowly come back. I have been in accident, I know. When I hit the car and I flew over, now the moment when I went out on my bike, going towards the road, there was no pain. The moment I hit the road, it's only after I get out, oh my goodness, my arm vibration, and now you start feeling the pain. Now, there is this body that God created that helps you to fend off that pain that you might feel, that the line is tearing you apart, and you feel this pain. No, the moment you have that moment that the light pounds on you, you're gone. Just think about this. Hundreds and thousands, thousands and thousands of Christians die for that faith. Verse 16, be not righteous over much, neither make thyself over wise. Why should you destroy thyself? Oh, don't be over righteous. Some people are just over-righteous, finding fault, this and that, blah, blah, blah. And then the second thing is that not to make yourself over-wise. Don't think that you're smarter than anybody else. Huh? Or would you destroy yourself? The book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let me see. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Why you hold a page, God, is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And let me see. Well, okay, verse 11. That you study to be quiet and do your own business and to work with your own hand as we have commanded you. Well, simple interpretation here is that, well, live your life, live a good life, live your life, don't be a busybody. Now you say, do your own business. That means that my own business. Alright? Live a life that is, don't be rowdy and arguing and all this. My own business. Yeah, that's what we have to do. Work, provide food for the family, and my own business. Well, it doesn't mean that my own business that you don't care about other people. No, it doesn't mean that. If you see two gangsters fighting and arguing on the road, don't try to be a capo. You know what I mean? Don't try to be a peacemaker because they are gangsters. Let them be alone. Let them fight because they are always fighting. But if you see an elderly woman or a young little boy or girl being molested by a man, that something is wrong, you have to intervene. Naturally. That's what I'm always doing that. When I'm an MRT coach, When The seat that was reserved for the elderly handicapped, and you find that here is a young man in his 20s sitting down there, pretending to be sleeping. And here was the elderly people, you know, walking stick. I would just step to the floor. I said, please, can you get up and let this elderly sit? He looked at me, and of course he's frustrated. I don't care. You know, because this place is not for him. I don't matter how tired it is. The other guy was with Adam. I went into the car, into the trains, and one young man, and he's 28, I think he's about only 30 maybe, rushed from the other side and sit on that place reserved for the handicapped and elderly with child. And Adam came in with me just the moment before we could take it. And the man sat down there, and actually he probably didn't see us. He took his phone. He wanted to play with his phone. Then Adam said, Grandpa, I want to sit. Then he looked at us. Oh, but then he put his phone, and then we didn't sit. And then I told Adam, I said in the voice, I said, well, you know, Adam, because it was rush hour, I said, well, you know, everybody's tired, you can stand, right? We just stand, okay? Yeah, but my leg's tired. And I said, no, but we are young anyway. But you see, the people are like that. So I understand, I know what, Pastor, people are tired, they'll just sit anyway, but they don't care. But as far as me and my son, grandson, I could stand, no problem. But when someone who's really needed, I will call him up. You see? Because that place is not reserved for him. So my own business, in the sense of when there is problem with something that is not your concern, move away. When people are drunk and fight among themselves, you don't try to intervene. Don't help in this business. What have you said saying? Be not over wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why would you die before your time? Be not over much wicked, neither be thou foolish. Yeah, sometimes we get a little frustrated and you know, trying to do a thing that we shouldn't be doing. And anything that is not right is wickedness. It might be like, you know, some people do investment, that is true. Do people invest? When you invest, fine. But if you spend time investing, because it's a chance, I could get this money, you know, buy this and all that, and I sell. There are people buying, selling all these things. But think about your life that you're living. It's a greed for money. Huh? Yes. That's true, isn't it? Look at the money lender. Illegal money lender. They lend you so much, they put a very high percent. That's wickedness. You know. So, the Bible tells us, and only guide us. Then the next one, it says, it is good that thou should take hold of this, yet also from this withdraw thy hand. For he that fear God shall come from of them all. Wisdom strengthen the wise man more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sin not. So nobody can say they are without sin. Let's quickly go to the next verse. Chapter 8 and verse 14. There is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happened according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be wicked men to whom it happened according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. The work of the wicked affects the righteous, and the righteous work also affects the wicked, one way or another. Yes. As righteous people that we are, we do whatever we do. Live the life, spread the word. It will affect the wicked. They don't like it. Somebody will curse you. Right? Yeah, sure. And the wicked, they, whatever they do, they affect the righteous. Look at what happened in Syria. Look at what happened in Iran. The Christians were running away. Look at what happened out there in Liberia. Somalia, Yemen, in India. You know what happened in India? The cow worshippers. They passed a law. No eating of cow. No eating of beef. You see what happened lately? The Muslims are fighting against it. Why? Because many of them, they eat beef. They're Muslim. So why is a nation ruled by one man or a group of men based on their religion? And that's why in Singapore, we don't allow, the government won't allow that. You bring a religion and force it upon others, like what ISIS is doing, the extremists are doing over in some countries. You have your own faith to your own. You want to spread it, but don't force it. Like the Syria war that is now being done over in Nigeria. Once you bring the Syria law, even in innocent people who are not Muslim, under the Syria law, you will be king. You can have head cut off when you don't come under their rules. And we are now in the process where the world, one world government is coming into action. I recently hear talk about the fat coin. You know about Bitcoin? Bitcoins? Bitcoin, right? Yeah, now they have. That's what the man was saying. The one who predicted that Donald Trump will be the next president. He is all into all this understanding of what's going on in the government, and he said what the Federal Reserve is doing. Now the government, the Federal Reserve is coming and create a new dollar called fat coin. But it's not on paper. And the possibility, they say there might be a chip. So, you know, get everybody, control everybody. So whatever you buy, whatever you sell, whatever, where the money goes, they know where it goes. If you transfer somebody to somebody, they know. When you buy something, they know what you buy. Well, this thing, they said, it's on the way. Possible. Anything is possible today. Second King, let's go and finish off this now. Second King. And we have chapter 22. Verse 1 to 2. 2 Kings 22, 1 to 2. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adah of Boska. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And he walked in all the way of David his father, and turn not aside to the right hand or to the left. Verse 20. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy father, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and the eye shall not see all the evil which I bring upon this place, and brought the king's word again. How old was he that he died? He was 8 years old and he reigned for 31 years. 39 years old. And the following year he died. 40 years old. Young man! He did what was right in the sight of God. And his life was cut short. Why? So that he would not see the evil that is coming upon his life. That's why sometimes I wonder. Young people just died like that. Young people. Why? See, God knows the future of this young man, or this young woman. Life was cut off and removed so that he would not suffer what's coming. Can we understand? So as much as we love our loved one, we don't want them to go. I don't want my son to go. I don't want my daughter to go. I don't think that you want your younger brother or sister, anyone who is young, to go. But God knows better what's coming. And in my age now, I even told the Lord, I'm tired. I just want to go. Put someone in the place here. But is there someone to take this place? And I'm thinking, if I were to go, who is taking over? What happened to this ministry? What happened to the believers here? I wonder. But I do not know the future. It's all in God's hand. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God, He is the porter. We are the clay. Our path, though we desire it the way that we want to go, may not be the way that God's will is for your life. That's why Jesus told the disciples how to pray. thy will be done in heaven as God see already for known about it, so it shall be on earth, your life. God has already seen what's for you, what he has for you and me. So we live in the hands of the Lord. Just to live the life that God will give us and live it faithfully. Remember Jesus Christ. At the age of 30, he was put into the ministry. Right? He preached for 3.5 years. And at the age of 33.5 years, his life was cut off. Why can't God let him preach longer? Huh? Maybe preach on, maybe up to 70 years or so. Some people say, so the people in Israel can learn more. Really? You know, I mean, we will have the reason. But God cut short his life. Because he already done his work. Time to go. Leave it to the apostles now. And there they believed their work. Their word that they spoke concerning Christ, blessed are they. Because it is by faith. It is not by sight. Lord, I want to see Christ. Yeah, show me God and I believe. Show me Jesus again and I believe. As I said before, Brother Abraham said that seeing is not believing, but believing is seeing. Seeing the word means to say, we are not talking about seeing by your sight. We are seeing by the spiritual mind. Seeing means to understand. That's what Jesus told Thomas. When Thomas asked him, show us the Father, and we believe. Jesus told him, said, you have been so long with me, you don't know who I am. If you understand who I am, if you see me, you see the Father. That is to say, if you understand who I am, you understand who the Father is. Because the Father, he dwelt in me. And the work that you see, he's only doing it. I, the Son of Man, could do nothing. But people don't comprehend it. Right? The apostles went out and they preached. Each one to the place where the Spirit led them. And what happened? All these 12 apostles, including Paul, remember Matthias was replaced. Judas was replaced by Matthias. And Paul came in as the 13th apostle. So to speak. Look at their life history. Except for John. Every one of them died a terrible death. They were nailed to the cross, exposition. Nothing to stand on. Not that the one that Jesus stood on. He has a pedestal to stand on. But they were tied onto a cross that is an X shape. You know, your leg is stretched out. And some of them were buried alive. Think about the life, the death. They die young. Except for John, the only one that didn't die. Because he was a type of the bride of Jesus Christ that will not see death till Jesus comes. So I pray that we, no matter what happened in our life, whatever happened, whatever transpired in this life till Christ returns, it's all in the hands of God. We have this year put Brother Shuren to rest. And now we have to put Brother Joseph Ramaswamy to rest. Therefore, death is just part of life. Because there is always what we believe in. Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat dies and buried, it will not bring forth much fruit. So we must be willing to die to self, that the Christ life in us blossom forth. Amen. The Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Help us to fully understand, O Lord, your guiding hands in this life of ours. We are no longer our own, Father. As Paul said, we are purchased with a price. We are prisoners of Christ, and a prisoner, we have no rights except that which you have given us. So Lord, guide us Get us, O Father, into your thoughts, into the deep recesses, O Lord, of your word, that we can behold the great love and great agape for us all, and to know, Father, that your will is what is good for us. As a potter, shape us, O Lord, the way you want us to be shaped, like you did with Abraham. So, Lord, we pray for the rest of the day. Bless the family of Brother. Bless the family of Brother Joseph, Lord, the wife, Sister Eunice, and the son Luke, and as well as the sisters and father and mother, Lord, and everyone that is close to him. We ask for your grace today now, this time, in Jesus' name. Amen.